welcome to what we hope you find a very exciting and entertaining podcast here from Internet Work Expert. What we want to discuss in this particular podcast is MPLS. We want to discuss an overview of MPLS, what we would consider here at Internet Work Expert Tier 1, kind of fundamental theoretical knowledge of MPLS. We'll actually get into some commands here, but we're going to stay real low level, real tier one with MPLS. We know we've been dealing with MPLS on the current Route Switch written exam, but finally in October of 2009, the written exam is going to come in sync with the lab exam, and both will feature MPLS. We certainly want to start thinking about the core knowledge section from an MPLS perspective. We'll see that in October as well. So I thought it was well timed here to do a podcast on Tier 1 MPLS knowledge. Remember, multi-protocol label switching is going to leverage the efficiency of Cisco Express forwarding. And in addition, the underlying intelligence, of course, of our IP routing. Remember what Ceph is all about? Cisco Express forwarding is called topology-based switching. It's a topology-based approach instead of an old route cache approach to moving traffic through the device. Cisco Express forwarding, which again helps MPLS become possible, is going to take a copy of all the routing table information and place it in what's called a forwarding information base, or FIB, inside the router's memory. It's also going to take a copy of the ARP cache information and reorganize it a bit and store it in something called the adjacency table. So Cisco Express forwarding makes for great packet forwarding times through the device, thanks to all of the information that needs to be accessible for moving traffic through an environment. All that's right in the router or the switch's hardware, instead of having to be processed in the slower software. What MPLS is going to do is it's going to take labels. Okay, it's going to take a label that's stored in an MPLS header, and it's going to append that overall header and therefore label to packets. One of the reasons this gets confusing right off the bat is we tend to refer to this entire MPLS header as the label, but be careful, inside that header with some various fields we'll talk about is the actual label itself. This label itself can be used for very efficient forwarding decisions through the MPLS network. Now, we certainly don't want to overemphasize the forwarding efficiency, since Cisco routers and switches do pretty darn good when it comes to forwarding, thanks to Cisco Express forwarding. I mean, we have some excellent performance numbers. So MPLS is going to shine in some other areas that we'll talk about in this recording and perhaps other recordings on MPLS. This label, instead of the traditional routing table information, this particular label is what's going to be used for the forwarding decisions. Now, it's often the case where we can just go ahead and use the underlying routing table to base this label switch path through the infrastructure. But the beauty of MPLS is we don't have to base it on the routing table information. We have tremendous amount of flexibility here. With MPLS traffic engineering, we can choose to base the path that these labeled packets take through the infrastructure based on things like quality of service markings or just overall link utilizations that we've seen in the MPLS core. So with MPLS, the layer 3 header information can be analyzed just once as the packet enters the MPLS domain. After this single analysis of the layer 3 information, a label can be added, and this label allows for all of the subsequent MPLS devices to skip traditional layer 3 lookups. isn't this awesome? So we have what we could consider a relatively inefficient process. And notice I say, again, relatively inefficient, because we know that Ceph is very powerful. But we have this traditional layer 3 lookup just occurring once at the edge of the crowd. We call this the ingress particular edge, okay? So as the packet's coming in on ingress into this cloud, we have this traditional lookup. One of the things that has been important for quite some time about MPLS in the current CCIE written exam is the terminology associated with MPLS. And obviously, this is going to be very, very important in the core knowledge section that we face in October of 2009. One of the terms that we need to be accustomed to is a label switch router. A label switch router is the device that actually makes MPLS possible. And we tend to group label switch routers into one of two categories. A label switch router that is at the edge of the MPLS cloud, it's a bit busier, as we just described, than an label switch router that's in the interior of the MPLS cloud. You see, if you're an MPLS device and you live at the edge, hey, we're like, Bon Jovi? I think he claims to be living on the edge. Anyways, if we're one of these edge label switch routers, we're going to be accommodating both label distribution, okay, we need to take these labels that we're forwarding packets based on, and we need to share them with other labels. Every label switch router is going to do that. We also need to forward packets based on these labels. And once again, every label switch router is going to do that. So I guess what really distinguishes one of these edge label switch routers from these interior label switch routers is the fact that the edge label switch routers are going to impose, that's insert, or dispose, that's remove, the labels that we are attaching to these packets. So label imposition and label disposition, the insertion or the removal of these MPLS labels. Now, close your eyes for a moment, once again, unless you're driving. Do you remember what we tend to call label removal or label disposition? So at one edge of the MPLS cloud, we are going to impose or insert a label. At the other edge of the MPLS cloud, we're actually going to remove or dispose of the label. Do you remember the term for that in MPLS? Yeah, we tend to call it a pop. Popping is the removal of one or more of these labels. Hey, wait a minute. We can have a stack of labels? Yes, we can. We can actually stack these headers on top of each other. And, of course, this is going to allow us to have multiple actual labels in the packet. And these labels, multiple labels, we often run into with things like traffic engineering and MPLS VPNs can often end up having us impose and dispose of multiple labels in a stack. Some more terminology that I want you to be aware of when it comes to MPLS is the terms that service providers typically use for these devices. A service provider is going to typically refer to the edge label switch router as simply a PE router, and that stands for provider edge router. And one of these internal label switch routers will be referred to as a P or provider router. So we have provider edge routers as our edge label switch routers, and we simply have provider routers as our label switch routers that are in the interior. Remember again, it's the edge devices that tend to be a bit busier. Now, when you look at the architecture of one of these label switch routers, you're going to see that it's very similar to the Ceph approach, the Cisco Express Forwarding approach. There's going to be a data plane, And separate from that data plane, there's going to be a control plane. The control plane is going to have like the routing protocol and the IP routing table and the label exchange protocol that we're using as part of its architecture. And the data plane is going to be concerned with taking the information from this control plane and building a forwarding table. Now, the forwarding table that we have in MPLS is called the label forwarding table, or LFIB. And notice this close relationship, at least from a sense of the terminology, but more so than that, notice this close relationship with the way Ceph works. In the data plane of Ceph, we had the FIB, the forwarding information base. And now in the data plane of the label switch router, we have an LFIB, the label forwarding information base. Now, let us talk about the actual header itself and the actual label that lives inside that MPLS header. We know that the MPLS header is an overall 4-byte identifier that's used throughout the MPLS process. This label actually indicates the destination and the various services that the packet will receive. We have a special term for all of the packets that are going to be forwarded a certain way throughout the infrastructure, and that term is the FEC, or Forwarding Equivalence Class. Notice that each label switch router is going to locally significant and independently map a particular label to this forwarding equivalence class. We then have the label switch routers exchange these label bindings. How do these label switch routers exchange the bindings? We'll share that with you here coming up in this podcast. This 4-byte or 32-bit label field used by MPLS consists of a 20-bit label itself. So what we often refer to as the label, which I'm calling the header in this presentation, it's got the label itself inside it. Of the 32 bits, 20 bits are reserved for the label itself. We then have 3 bits that are called the experimental bits. And by default, these 3 bits will carry the IP precedence markings from the layer 3 packet itself. Then there's the bottom of stack bit. Since labels can be stacked on top of each other in the packet, we need a bottom of stack bit to indicate whether this overall label is the last in the stack of labels. And then we have the 8-bit time-to-live field. And the time-to-live field is to, sure enough, prevent the endless looping of MPLS packets in the cloud. Now, it's really pretty interesting. With frame mode MPLS, the label is inserted. And by the way, frame mode MPLS is our concern for the CCIE exam. With frame mode MPLS, the label gets inserted between the layer 2 and layer 3 header of the frame. In fact, old-time engineers often refer to MPLS here as label or layer 2.5 switching. It's not quite layer 2. It's not quite layer 3. It exists in between. It's layer 2.5. So this overall MPLS header gets inserted between the layer 2 and layer 3 traditional headers that we're used to. That's frame mode MPLS, and that's our concern for the exam, as I said. But what's interesting is we can have cell mode MPLS, and we should just be casually aware of the fact the only place it would rear its head, I believe, would be core knowledge. But we should be casually aware of the fact that with cell mode MPLS, the fields in the ATM header are actually used in order to carry this label information. Now, you notice that bottom of stack bit, where we can have labels stacked on top of each other. This often occurs because of MPLS VPNs. Maybe we have one label being used to figure out where the egress router is, and another label being used to identify a particular VPN. Or maybe we're doing MPLS traffic engineering, where one of the labels points to a tunnel endpoint and another of the labels points to the destination. Or finally, maybe we've got a lot of labels in the packet because we're doing MPLS VPNs in conjunction with MPLS traffic engineering. So, we know there's this bottom of stack bit, and it's because there are various circumstances where we can have multiple labels. So, again, let's close our eyes for a moment and envision how this labeling process works with MPLS. A packet hits the ingress edge of the MPLS cloud, and the router there, the Cisco device, does a layer 3 lookup and then imposes the appropriate label. That ingress device then hands it to one of our provider devices or label switch router devices in the interior, and it does not do a forwarding information based lookup. Instead, it relies on its label forwarding information base and simply swaps the label. It does a label swap. Maybe the destination prefix upon ingress that this packet was trying to get to was the 10.10.10/24 network. And maybe that ingress device applied a label of 21. When it hands it off to the device in the interior, all that device in the core does is say, oh yeah, label 21, I need to replace it with label 25, and I need to send it on to the next MPLS device. So these label bindings make up how the path is determined through the infrastructure. Upon egress, we have the device needing to do an LFIB lookup and realize that it needs to pop off the label. But then, sadly enough for this device, it also must do a forwarding information-based lookup. So one of the things that we'll talk about is a nice efficiency mechanism called penultimate hop popping. And it's probably the ultimate term that we're going to deal with in this podcast for sure. It's quite a term. And this PHP, or penultimate hop popping, is going to make things more efficient for that egress router. We'll talk about that in a few moments. So we know that these label bindings are the key to the MPLS infrastructure. But how are these label bindings exchanged? Well, we have a protocol for that. It's the label distribution protocol, and it exchanges labels between our adjacent routers. Label distribution protocol is actually a reliable session-based infrastructure. Hello messages are sent out periodically on the MPLS-enabled interfaces, and these hello messages are used to actually initiate session establishments. Hello messages are initially unreliable, sent to user datagram protocol, UDP port 646, and they're multicast out to the all routers multicast address of 224.0.0.2. Once these devices find each other via that unreliable mechanism, then the transmission control protocol is used to actually establish the session using TCP port 646. Remember, we have the term label switched path in MPLS, and that simply refers to the sequence of label switch routers that make up the forwarding equivalence class path. These label switch paths are unidirectional. They're asymmetric potentially. This means that the return path might be different from the forwarding path. And we have this, of course, in our IP routing infrastructure. Now, since we typically are going to base the MPLS label switch path on the underlying routing infrastructure, well, they're both typically going to be symmetric, but I did want to point out that these forwarding equivalence classes are by their very nature unidirectional. Now let's clarify on that penultimate hop popping we spoke of. With penultimate hop popping, instead of the egress edge label switch router having to do the FIB and the LFIB lookup, with penultimate, which means second to last, with penultimate hop popping, sure enough, the second to last router is going to be in charge of popping off the label. That spares the egress MPLS device from having to do both a label forwarding information based lookup and a FIB lookup. Now, all that last hop, all that egress device needs to do is the simple FIB lookup. So penultimate hop popping is an efficiency mechanism we should be aware of. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this initial presentation on pretty much terminology that is associated with MPLS. Obviously, future podcasts will get more into the gory details of this new and exciting MPLS technology.